Let's go to Revelation 20. We were going to study this when we were talking about the end time prophecies, but I forgot back then. Well, you know what? We're going to do 19 and 20. So let's go back over to chapter 19. Sorry, Pete. Did Luis show you the notes?
Yeah, he did.
Did he do good? Well?
Yeah. And he had to cross out the chapters too, just like I understood.
No, that would never happen.
No.
Yeah. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath I thought I was feeling better. And hath Let's start in 28, verse 2 again. True and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath purged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. I remember when we studied Revelation 17 a bunch, but it defines who the great whore is. Remember, it is... Well, let's look. Go to chapter 17 just for a few verses. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Now, it's the same great whore. You understand that? But now in verse 20, he has judged her forever. But the great whore isn't this woman that's sitting alone. It's on every one of us. That's the mind. Your mind is the great whore. that by definition all it is capable of doing is committing fornication with the world, because it's the basis of the great whore is cause and effect. If you believe in cause and effect, if you do this, that will happen, or don't do this, thus, etc., then you're giving breath to the great whore. So she's still sitting on where? On your mind. Now, this is not nice. Maybe we can finally see ourselves and see your mind as the great whore. Anybody?
Yeah. When I read something kind of angry about having seven heads and ten horns, I'm sure that means something dramatic, but what I thought, it's like the whore, if she can't convince you in this mind, she'll go to another part of your mind, or another part, or another part. I mean, there's so many different aspects to our humanity and our mind and its flexibility that if we can't be convinced in one state, we'll go to another until we find a place where we can justify our whoredoms.
You understand that the Israel is a picture of that, and that Israel's picture or type was what's in all men. And so, because there were seven kings, seven, you know, we've studied and talked about many times. You know, the one that the Jerusalem one, we haven't. That's the last one to go, and that was hope. And how can you live without hope? Well, you have to live without hope if you're a believer. Because otherwise you're not living by grace. You're still back in cause and effect.
You know, when you talked yesterday about what brought you to the end of Norman Grove, that whole experience, and I was identifying because I had a similar ending. And I can relate to what you're saying in that I had lost all hope. There was no hope left in me. I was done. And I suspect you were in about the same place. You know, you tried everything, been everywhere, met everybody, whatever, and there was nothing there. And so hope was just gone. And without hope, then, death is your best friend.
Right. I mean, that's why... But faith and hope have nothing to do with each other. But everybody says they're twins.
You know, it's like hope is after you become a believer, hope is okay. Because your hope then is in Christ. And that's your relationship.
Yeah, but you got to be careful. Because you've got to discern what you're hoping for. What the hope is, as a, yeah. Because otherwise, he will justify leaving faith to believe in the hope. You have to see enough to be able to repent of hope. Anyway, that's what this is really about. So, and the woman was arrayed in verse 4, in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Harlot, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations on or in the earth. Now let's go down and see in verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest. And that's in verse...
verse 15.
Huh?
Yeah, you said verse 15.
Yeah. The waters, but the waters what we just saw. I'll let you now tell me what we just saw in the earlier reading.
The waters in verse 1, 17. 1.
Pardon?
In chapter 17, verse 1.
Right. But I wanted you to see it.
Yeah.
All right. So the waters which thou sawest where the great whore sitteth are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, she's sitting on the entire human race. And that was the fruit of the fall. So we had to move into, from God's standpoint, pure evil, which cause and effect from his standpoint is pure evil. And as we lived more and more by that lie, then we're giving more and more breath to the whore. She didn't go judge away. You had to destroy her. And this is the only battle that you have, really. Everybody understand a little bit? So about now, I'll go back to over to let's go chapter 19 now, verse 2. Or let's just start at the beginning. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath avenged the blood of his servants on her at her hand. Now, he's seeing in present perfect. In other words, he saw the destruction of the great whore as the revelation came out to him. And so he already saw it for us, if you can hear. Otherwise, you're going to run around doing all kinds of stupid stuff. And all you're doing is giving the whore power. If you use your mind for one thing, you're giving her power. You're resurrecting her. You can say it, you're in the name of God. It doesn't matter. You can call it the name of anything you want, but it's the great whore. If you don't know this, and there's always... everybody doesn't have one that's written out, but everyone had one or more of great ideas. Not picking on you, but everybody. And those great ideas, every time you move towards one, you're denying Christ and giving breath to the whore. A little bit. Now let's finish here. And verse 3, and again they said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever, or as long as time lasts. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped, saying, and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, for you that fear him, small and great. We don't like to think about fearing God. But if you don't, you will stay in the mud. That's what I'm going to go there. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, now this is what you got to hear. We don't have to hear it, but you should. Will you turn that off or on?
I'm trying to turn it off.
Okay. Not the great horn, but well, you should turn her off, especially. Mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice in honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the linen is the righteousness of saints. Well, the only way saints can have a righteousness is abandon itself. This is like a movie. I mean, I see it, and each stage is the bride making herself ready by repentance, or is she continuing on in her own way? This is the edge of the sharp knife that, if you slip, you're going to get cut in half. And he saith, in verse 9, and he saith unto me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy isn't telling the future. Prophecy is having no other source of anything except, if we could see just for a split second how glorious faith is, without ever going back to leaning on our own arm of understanding for anything.
What is it saying here that...
What?
I'm curious of this. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he says, see thou do it not. Why don't fall at my feet and worship me, worship God,
right,
as did Christ. And we have that same spirit as Christ in that we have the spirit of saying it, prophesying, clarity, transparency, whatever. Is that what it's saying here?
Well, we have it if we have it. We don't have it if we don't have it.
Well, if some of this is true,
well, he's talking about the one that was in heaven, and that was his sort of guide.
So this is John saw.
Right.
Christ.
No, this is not Christ.
He saw
a fellow believer.
Huh?
He saw a fellow believer.
A fellow believer, okay.
And remember, that's why the scripture is so clear. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't fear Him, you're kidding yourself. And that's why you start out in that fear, but eventually you come to a place where you would rather die than offend Him. I pray each of you will reach that point quickly. And if you find out, well, the scriptures are clear, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that's when you better learn to fear Him. Well, then, anyway, dadgummit. Now, the rest of well, let's. We're not going to be able to get to 20. We'll do that tomorrow if I'm alive. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness did he judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his beard were many, and his head many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in his blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a hand of iron, and he treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on him, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat. And Pete, would you read that rest of that verse, okay. a chapter?
That you may eat.
You can speak a little louder.
That you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
All right. 20 is what we were going to read. We will read that tomorrow. But that's the predicate to 20.
Who are the fowls? Who are the fowls?
Angels, cherub.
Not us.
No. The... I need to say this. At some point in the not too distant future, you have to see as the worst sin there is cause and effect. Because cause and effect keeps you in the unable to see God, unable to fear Him. And without that, there can't be true faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Cause and effect is the opposite of faith.
That ties in with the word, the meaning of blessed, not subject to faith, not subject
to the fates.
The fates, which are
the three fates. That's the belief system in, that started in Greece, that the three fates are on Mount Olympus, but their job is to trick you all the time and keep you from seeing the truth. Does this come alive in any way? I hope it does.
Yeah, sure. It's stirring. Stirring is a word.
Stirring is a good word.
Yeah.
Stirring up only one thing, faith.
Amen. The exhortation on cause and effect is always important.
Do what?
The exhortation on cause and effect is always important.
Right. That's the fruit of the fall.
Yeah. I mean, and the fact that it is the most important thing that we need to see through, I need to hear that pretty often. So yes, this is important to me.
Go to Matthew 18.
Just one comment on that. What Tom just said is ties in to the spirit of prophecy. The reason you won't prophesy is because if I prophesy, I will be shamed, or I will be laughed at, or it. But the spirit of prophecy doesn't help cause and effect. It just is whatever it is without regard to the response or to the consequence. Where did we go?
Matthew 18.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child or little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. And whom shall the and whoso shall receive me, or excuse me, shall receive one such little child is my name. whosoever shall receive such a little child in my name receiveth me. I remember talking about the state of being, the state that Adam and Eve were created in. And that's the faith that you have to return to. You lose awareness of self. Self goes out the picture. Self is gone. Your ideas are gone. Your labor is gone. Everything. If I would have one, everybody read, I mean, memorize one small scripture. Except you be converted and become as little children. And that's the thing before self-awareness. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as that little child. Well, that we have to go before, but excuse me. Except you be converted, in verse 3. I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into my kingdom. The Bible just says the same thing from beginning to end. Except to be converted and become as Adam and Eve were before the fall, without self-awareness.
Amen.
That was the innocence that we've talked about many times, about when you grow up, there's a period of time from your birth to about 18 months or so. Well, you don't have any self-awareness. That's the closest thing we have to seeing what true faith is. And most of us despise that. I've got too much invested. I have to lean on my own arm of understanding. No.
I have a customer with a fairly new baby. And I was talking to her in the kitchen yesterday. I was looking at this child, 3 months old or less, and the absolute dependence and comfort and rest that this child was in, leaning on its mother's shoulder, and eyes open or eyes closed. There was not an ounce of effort in the child. It was so dependent and giving.
Yeah.
And trusting and everything that we talk about just right there. It's so
perfect. The rest of the Bible is just commentary about this. This is the most important thing there is. And we'll see why when we get to why it's so important when we do chapter 20. But can you see why only two that were born in Egypt made it into the promise? And they all believed, they thought. you see the guy that reached down to pick up a few sticks and stoned to death? Because he did it on the Sabbath. Now, that's 1,000 times more important now because it's the opposite of faith. And you can't, you know, our minds can't conceive the idea that you'd reach down to pick up sticks, except if you understand the Sabbath. You have to cease from your own labors. Today, if you will harden not your hearts, enter into the rest. I say again, today. As in the provocation. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, for it wasn't filled with faith. So only Caleb and Joshua entered the rest. If that doesn't put the fear of God in you, I don't know what will. You're not a believer because you're a believer. You're a believer because that's your only life. Take it, big guy.